far inside of a Kenny Hodge experience.
K. H.
Should start the show, but there's something about this beat that makes me want to dance instead of talk. Oh no, here he goes. Here's your guy Kenny Hodge giving you that interesting news that you need to know but nobody's telling you. Sunday, from 5 in the morning till 5 in the afternoon or evening, there will be a power outage in the Columbus, Ohio City Gate processing plant. Stand by, I'm going to give you ideas and strong suggestions on how you should act during the hours of limited visibility. And this is what we do on the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. I understand work environments, and it is my goal to prepare employees on how that they could best navigate through some of the obstacles that the Postal Service will put in front of you. Let's have a podcast. On Sunday, May 30th. On Sunday, May 30th, the Columbus, Ohio City Gate Processing Plant will have zero electricity during the projected hours of 05 a.m. and 1705 p.m. They will have limited generator backup power. That again, because this is what we're going to talk about for the next 20 minutes. On Sunday, May 30th, the Columbus, Ohio City Gate Processing Plant will be without electricity from the projected hours of 05 a.m. to 05 p.m. Let's talk about that and how that's going to affect employees required to report for work. Now, I want to start off just to set the tone. I want to start off by saying it's Sunday. The Postal Service has already projected a 12-hour block of time that they anticipate not having electricity because there is some, I don't really know what's going on. There's something going on with AEP or whoever electricity is through with the post office. I don't know if it's routine maintenance. I really don't know what it is. I do know that it's projected a 12-hour span of time. Now, again, it might be 5 minutes, it might be 20 hours, but 12 hours is projected. So let's start to look at operations in that 12 hours. Understanding no lights holiday, would you believe, and I can't make this up, that Columbus, Ohio actually drafted people to come to work on Sunday? Come on now. It's Sunday. You already have no electricity. But there are mail handlers and clerks, to the best of my knowledge, I know they're mail handlers, that are drafted to work their holiday on that Sunday. I gotta say, I don't know what the thought process was behind that, but I'm sure that kind of thought process will lend itself to the post office never being successful in mastering the mail processing operating procedure. Most people would think, well, if it was my business or my organization, I would have capitalized on this day and try and get as many people out of the building as possible, thereby reducing the staff to pretty much volunteers, which means people who really want to be there, and a few other essential personnel. Now I can possibly do some type of makeshift operation because I have those willing and able to participate. But when you understand you have a power outage and you intentionally draft people to work to bring more people into a building that you got to know is not going to be productive, it makes me wonder who's driving the tour bus, Stevie or Ray? Okay, now that I got that out, here's what's going to happen. On Sunday morning, from the hours of 05 to 1700, 5 in the evening, afternoon, City Gate is expected to be without electricity. Now, I'm sure they've got backup generators, which we'll talk about in a second, but I want employees to understand, when you report for work on Sunday, don't expect there to be any electricity. So come prepared. You're not going to know what to do until you get there, but come prepared so when you get to work and there's no lights, you're not surprised. Here's what I understand the operation is going to be on Sunday. If you will notice, throughout the last couple days, you've seen the building maintenance mechanics, particularly Mr. Crum, stringing lights around the perimeter of the work floor. Most of the perimeter of the work floor. That main aisleway, as soon as you walk onto the work floor, that's going to have lights all the way down. So from the tour office all the way down to Dock 101, I'm pretty sure there's going to be a row of lights. Safety precautionary reasons, not operational, let's run unit reasons. So that run or that row of lights will be up and illuminated. Then there's going to be lights coming across the middle of the workroom floor. In other words, it's going to split the workroom floor in half. Coming up behind the flat unit over into the 030 unit, manual letters. Then you're going to have another row of lights along the back wall by the west dock that's going to go from BMEU all the way down to dock door 76, whatever it is there. So you're going to have the outside perimeter of the interior of the work floor with some type of lighting. Now, the post office thinks, Columbus, Ohio thinks, that on Sunday, hold on a second. Oh, okay. Woo. Columbus, Ohio post office thinks on Sunday, there's going to be enough overhead light that they're going to open the panels in the ceiling, in the roof, and allow that ambient light to come into the building mixed with the lights from the electrical lights they're going to string around the work floor. They are convinced that it is going to provide enough of a lighted area that they're going to be able to operate 030 manual letters.
Isn't that those little small slots to put letters
035
in?
Flat prep area.
Flat prep. They working with a knife in the dark.
Rewrap. And
rewrap. They got knives over
there. Like I know Columbus, Ohio. Everything else they think they can squeeze into that window of operation. But the main focus is going to be 030. 035 and rewrap. Now, let me also add, you're going to have zero electricity. So the whole automation staff that reports for work on Sunday will be in 030. Again, with no electricity, all of the mail processors that work, the SPSS, the bundle sorter, both of them, will be in 030. Okay? So already, I'm going to put more people back there than cases will accommodate. So now you're going to have that residue or the additionals probably doing re-wrap, which is a male handler function, but I know people think because it's a holiday and there's no lights, there's all kind of special consideration being given. I beg to differ, but so all of your mail processors that report for work on Sunday, and if any were forced in or drafted in, will be pretty much contained in the O30 area. Now you have the mail handler. You have mail handlers coming in, and one of the things that Columbus did in there, I don't know who's driving the tour bus. They did a change of schedule, and they moved starting times back 2 hours. Now, before I try to really understand that, you got to understand, even with moving starting times back 2 hours, you still have the entire tour operating in the window of projected no electricity. So you move starting times back. Now you run the cost of incurring out of schedule premium, which is going to be an additional cost tacked onto your normal work hours because you're trying to put together an operation based on the fact that you have no electricity. Now, the last time I was at work, and it was a power outage that lasted, I think, several hours. Let me tell you what the employees of Columbus, Ohio were exposed to. They put all the dock doors up, which gave sufficient lighting on the dock that you could unload trucks. But as with most things, nobody thought it through, because now we start to unload trucks. You now create a congested dock. So what are you going to do with the mail? Well, one of the supervisors had the bright idea. Hey, forklifts have lights on them. So now in a dark building, we had a power outage. You have forklifts driving around with their light on it, and supervisors telling drivers that's what the light is intended for. Do you see the safety issues or major concerns that took place there? So I hope by me making that known to all the employees that we won't see a repeat of that. I don't know. It just seems, again, it's not my budget, but I am of the opinion, had you just sold as much annual leave as possible and then gave administrative leave to the rest, yes, it would have cost you a day's work for zero productivity, but it would have been a morale booster, because right now it could be justified. Because I don't care how you play with the numbers after Sunday, because I'm sure you're going to want to show somebody that your brainstorming idea of trying to run operations in a pitch black building or in a building with no electricity, let me take that back. You're going to try to make that seem a profitable business venture, for lack of a better phrase. No, you're going to try to convince your bosses that that was the right thing to do, and I hope they don't buy that. Because if so, then right underneath the bridge, I've got some land, and it's got nothing to do with water. And if you believe this is a good idea, I would like to sell that land to you. Now, let me get back to the post office changing schedules. They forced a schedule change that put entire tour two at a singular begin time and a single end time, meaning 8 to 4:30. That's exactly what it was, 8 to 4:30. Now, if Sunday is your holiday, as per the contract, They can move your schedule, and your schedule is just move. Meaning, if Monday, Tuesday is your day off, they can move you around on Sunday. You are not entitled to anything additional for your 8 hours. Naturally, you go over eight, you're entitled to overtime. For every other employee, mail handlers I'm talking to, if Monday, Tuesday is not your day off, every hour before or outside of your normal tour, the post office will pay you, or they should pay you, out of schedule premium. I'm going to say it again. If your non-scheduled day is not Monday or Tuesday, again, if your non-scheduled day is not Monday or Tuesday, and the post office changed your schedule for Sunday, every hour you work before your begin tour or after your begin tour, based on the post office's change, is called out of schedule premium. And you are entitled to it. And trust me, we will fight to make sure you get it. And when I say we, I am not talking about me and your stewards and your local president and your stewards. I'm talking about we as in you and I, because there may be some conflicting points of interest with that. And while I'm talking to the maintenance, I want to mention, if you look at the distance, you're going to be cramming a lot of people into small spaces. Are you concerned with contact tracing at this time? Or are you going to try to mandatory people to wear masks even though they've been fully vaccinated? Did anybody give any consideration to this? Well, and the reason I address maintenance with this is because my understanding is you have maintenance supervisors still harassing an employee, a custodian, about mask wearing, and it is not mandatory, to the best of my knowledge. And if I'm wrong, somebody please correct me on that. It's not mandatory anymore. In fact, June 2nd, other than places of health care, to the best of my knowledge, you can take all your masks off. Now it becomes voluntary if you want to wear one. So the fact that maintenance is giving one of their own tour two employees a hard time about a mask, are they going to be giving that same business to everybody on Sunday when they confine us into smaller spaces? I'm just wondering, because I'd be interested to see how that turns out. You may also be wondering, with everybody, you know, you got your whole tour there, holiday schedule, and normally to the rest of the world, a holiday schedule means you're bringing in less employees than you bring in normally. In Columbus, Ohio, holiday schedule means everybody's coming to work. Well, 90% of people coming to work. So with a full tour in the building and the main restrooms, if you'll notice up front, right behind the first bundle sorter, or in between the bundle sorter and the SPSS, if you'll notice, those bathrooms are under heavy construction. And unknown to most, those are the only two bathrooms that have built-in backup power so that if electricity goes out, they still have flush capabilities. Now, again, it is my understanding that because maintenance is aware of that, they're going to have backup generators connected to the bathroom along the main wall where the maintenance offices are. So there's going to be a male and female bathroom open there. In the male bathroom, there's two urinals and three stalls. That should be enough for the whole tour. But then adjacent on the opposite side of the building, there's going to be backup generator power to the men and ladies room over there as well. So there's only going to be one restroom available for that 8-hour tour, two of each, one on each wall. So on the main wall, there'll be a men's room and a ladies' room. And when I say main wall, I mean right down by the maintenance manager's office. By the maintenance office, there's going to be a male and female restroom open there. And on the adjacent wall, the wall just before you move onto the west dock, there's going to be a male and female bathroom available there. It is my understanding they'll have backup generator power. So those bathrooms will have flush capabilities. Now, I don't know about water. Naturally, if there's no electricity, I don't think that the vending machines are going to be operational. So get you some pogey bait. I'm sorry, I meant bring you some snacks to work with you because you may not have access during this 12-hour period. But again, I hope vehicles aren't driven around. I mean, I hope we don't have a repeat of that. But I'm pretty sure they're going to raise the door to the docks and allow that sunlight to come in for some dock operations out there. But when you have six times the number of people that you normally have, that's just going to be a lot more congested. And with congestion, bring short tempers and attitudes. So I hope we don't see any of that. Again, it's going to be a little bit of a stressful work environment, asking to accomplish something with limited visibility compared to what you're used to. So my real message is, let's be safe and be thoughtful. And if you should receive some instructions to do something that you know is not safe, and I hate to say it like this, under normal circumstances, you probably would have committed that unsafe act if you were requested to. But let's use a little extra care on Sunday. Let's refuse to do it. If you know it's not safe, never mind the shortcut. Let's just refuse to do it. This is Kenny Hodge for the Kenny Hodge Podcast. Just trying to give you a play-by-play on what you should expect on Sunday with, as always, a little color commentary. Have a good day. I'll